Our present meditation is on Saint Joseph, model of consecrated life. Today being the feast of the Holy Family, it seems only logical, even psychological, that we include Saint Joseph. Of course, our primary models are Jesus and Mary, but Saint Joseph must be important. Do I say important? There wouldn't have been a Holy Family without Joseph. Our plan is to cover first something of the veneration of Saint Joseph, which means knowing, understanding who Saint Joseph was and who he is. Then, devotion to Saint Joseph. And finally, and most importantly, the imitation of Saint Joseph. We know from divine revelation that Saint Joseph was the spouse of Mary and the foster father of Jesus. His name, as we commonly use it, Joseph, is an abbreviation of Jehoseph, J-E-H-O-S-E-P-H, which means in Hebrew, "May Yahweh be praised." In other words, may God be praised. We know again from divine revelation that he was a descendant of King David, and therefore he was a natural relative of Mary. And the great likelihood is that he was himself born in Bethlehem. That is a witness of the early fathers of the church, going back to Saint Justin, writing in the middle of the second century. In the revealed texts of the New Testament, in Greek, he is called a tekton, T-E-K-T-O-N, which literally means a workman. And tradition has identified the work that he did of being a carpenter. It is well to know that Joseph was espoused to Mary before the incarnation. Now we know there was, as the Gospels make clear, a distinction between being and being espoused and living together. Mary and Joseph were espoused before Our Lady conceived her divine Son. Now the New Testament record it comes in 10 parts. first of all, in Joseph's espousal to Mary. And that, I repeat, is part of the revealed Word of God. Then, after a miraculous conception of Jesus, and Joseph, as the Gospels tell us, noticed that Mary was with child. But notice too, Mary said nothing. And then Joseph had to find out by a special divine revelation. I cannot tell you, oh, I don't say important, but how essential to the understanding of the religious life is trusting in God against all rational evidence. Then Mary and Joseph lived together. But as the church from the very beginning has taught infallibly, Mary and Joseph lived in virginal espousal. And just for the record, it is well to know that there is not just a valid marriage, but a valid sacramental marriage, just by the exchange of their mutual consent. Then, Bethlehem. Joseph went with Mary, or shall we say, Mary went with Joseph. Our Lady, too, was a direct descendant of David. But according to Jewish law, the husband was the one responsible. Here, for, as we know, under the emperor's edict of, meeting the census law passed by the Roman emperor, and remember, the shepherds found Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. And then again in the presentation, it was Mary, Joseph, and the young Christ child. Then the flight into Egypt, after having been specially and personally told what Herod's plans were, the Magi, as we know, went back home without first touching base with Herod, as he told them to. And then Joseph taking Mary and the young Christ child of all places to Egypt, from which, as we know, the Jews were delivered after generations under Egyptian, shall we call it, slavery. And then, again, by divine, not merely intuition, but special private revelation, Joseph, and remember always, it was Joseph who was publicly identified as the head of the family to return to Nazareth, which he did. And then, when Jesus was 12 years old and deliberately remained back in the temple, finally, Mary and Joseph found him among the teachers. And as we believe, this was Christ's first manifestation of his divinity. Mary told her son, "Your father and I have sought you sorrowing." Our Lady used the word father in one sense. In answering her, Jesus told her, "Do you not know that it must be about my father's affairs?" And his father recapitalized. Christ identifying the first person of the Holy Trinity as his Father, who sent him into the world precisely for this reason, to proclaim the good news and save a sinful world. Now, two more observations still on part one, which we call veneration. Veneration is knowledge about, respect for, and honoring, in this case, Saint Joseph. The references to Joseph as the reputed father of Jesus. In other words, Joseph was indispensable in God's providence for the fulfillment of the divine will. And he is regularly referred to as, well, the reputed father of Jesus. Finally, and most likely, from the church's tradition, Joseph died before Jesus began his public ministry. The common teaching of the church's magisterium. That's part one. One of my very close friends in the Society of Jesus, a few years ahead of me in theology and therefore in ordination, Father Francis Filas, F-I-L-A-S. I hope we have some of his books in your library. He died, shall I say, of a broken heart. We're good friends. When he saw what was happening, dare I say it, in our beloved society of Jesus. But Father Philas wrote what I consider the most inspiring books on Saint Joseph, certainly in the English language. Now, devotion to Saint Joseph. The Church's history indicates that devotion to Saint Joseph began very early in the Church. In fact, before the Church's liberation in the early 4th century. A quotation from the Father of the Church, Saint Ephrem, died 373 AD. I quote, "No one can adequately praise Saint Joseph," unquote, Saint Ephrem. Over the centuries, there have been different feast days in honor of Saint Joseph. The first feast of Saint Joseph, hear it, was on December the 25th. Then, on the Sunday, first before and later on, the Sunday after Christmas. Then finally, March the 19th became the Feast of Saint Joseph, and during the Crusades, when, as we know, the Christians organized, well, highly criticized, widely, by those who are not professed, I don't say Christians, but Catholics, the Crusades, where the Christians went to war. Against whom? Against the Muslims. And among the saints who preached the Crusades was, I trust you all know, the great Saint Bernard. During the Crusades, a beautiful basilica in honor of Saint Joseph was built by the Crusaders at Nazareth. By the Middle Ages, which we then be the Crusades and up to the so-called Protestant Reformation, which never existed. Protestant Revolution, the Catholic Reformation. By the time of the Middle Ages, devotion to Saint Joseph reached its full blossom. Among the saints promoting devotion to Saint Joseph, the outstanding Saint Peter Damian, Saint Bernard, Saint Thomas Aquinas, and Saint Bernardine of Siena. For the Universal Church, March the 19th became not just a feast day, it became and it still is, except in the United States. A holy day of obligation. Did you know that? March the 19th. And in the Code of Canon Law that I jot down, Canon 1246. Pius IX declared Saint Joseph patron of the Universal Church in 1955. Pope Pius XII instituted the feast May the 1st of each year, the feast of Saint Joseph the Worker. Guess why? Because the communists, since their origins, have celebrated May the 1st as the great day of the liberation of the workman from domination by the capitalists. And over the centuries, March of each ecclesiastical year is identified with being dedicated to Saint Joseph. And Wednesday of every week, specially dedicated to the foster father of Jesus. As I was taught and trained from infancy by my mother. So much for the veneration and the devotion. Now, the imitation. This, by the way, is the standard triad in Catholic spirituality. First, to venerate the saints. Know all you can about them and love them. Honor them. Secondly, practice devotion to the saints, especially by invoking their intercession with God. As we know, a person's power in praying depends on that person's sanctity. We invoke the saints so they will intercede for us. And Joseph, what a safe statement, he is one of the great saints of Christianity. I have seven virtues of Saint Joseph recommended for imitation. First of all, his humility. And what a combination. The head of the Holy Family, and yet not a single recorded word that he ever spoke in biblical revelation. How we need to hear this. Humility is deep, deep down in our minds and our wills. Humility, as we know, is the truth, and especially two truths: our relationship with God and our relationship with those whom God puts into our lives. Saint Joseph is the model of silent, obscure, unpublicized humility. Secondly, Saint Joseph is the inspiration of chastity, the Catholic Church has never doubted that Joseph, like Our Lady, had bound himself, and mind you, this is before the coming of Christ, had bound himself to living a life of consecrated chastity. And at least some pictures and statues of Saint Joseph, building on the record in the Apocrypha. Well, he's an old man, way up in years. That's the Apocrypha. In other words, the counterfeit Gospels. The church tradition tells us Joseph was a young man, but how do you hear this? In God's providence, Joseph was chosen, and the mildest verb I can use, to protect the reputation of Mary. In other words, Joseph had a most important providential role to play in the mystery of salvation. If the Son of God became man and was to make clear to all future history that he had no human father, there had to be someone to ensure that Christ's mother would be, well, respected. And needless to say, in the Catholic Church's tradition, we know that both Mary and Joseph did go around. What stupidity that would have been, publicizing, to say their fellow Nazarenes, "Do you know that this little Jesus, he was conceived without a human father?" How carefully God plans his providence. Third virtue, prudence. Everything we know about Saint Joseph tells us he was a man of consummate prudence. A prudent person anticipates the future. A prudent person knows. You speak when you should speak, and you keep silent when you should not speak. And we know, on divine revelation, the price that Joseph paid when he espoused Our Lady, and then, oh no, Lord, what's going on here? And Mary told him nothing. Then, as we know from the Gospels, Joseph, being a just man, being sure that Mary, well, sure that Mary conceived in some unexplainable way, that by Jewish law, he was to have, well, put Mary away, dismissed her. Talk about prudence. Talk about prudence. To preserve Mary's reputation. He was going to, well, do it by law. He was told to do, till, as we know, God intervened and told him, Joseph, don't worry. Remember what he was told, how Mary conceived her son. We could spend not just one meditation, I'm not exaggerating, a whole retreat on the virtue of prudence. It is not for nothing that prudence is the first of the four moral virtues. Prudence in the mind, and only then justice, fortitude, and temperance in the will. Prudence is called the queen of all virtues. Can we be imprudent in our spiritual life? Yes, we can. Can we be imprudent in our practice of prayer? Yes, we can. You name the virtue, and we need prudence to exercise that virtue. I did tell you, didn't I, how St. Ignatius converted, well, at about the age of 30, not even having had a good, what we would call, grammar school education. After his conversion, he had to go back to what we call grammar school to learn the basics, well, of Spanish spelling and grammar. And by that time, he'd already been gifted with mystical experiences. So I know from years of teaching, Ignatius found his classes boring. First of all, he was 20 more years older than the other students. And then, in the middle of a boring class, he'd have a rapture. And the saints tell us, raptures and ecstasies are very enjoyable. Guess, Ignatius decided, those raptures, hear it, were from the devil. Is it himself? You lazy bones, pay attention to class. Ask the Lord to protect him from having an ecstasy. I've counseled too many people, including, I have to say it, my share of alleged mystics. Back to the virtue of prudence. Fourth virtue. Obedience. If there is anything that stands out in the biblical record of Saint Joseph, it is his obedience to the will of God. And that obedience meant doing things which, humanly speaking, he would never have thought of doing. Obedient in espousing Mary. Obedient in going to Bethlehem. Obedient in the presentation. Obedient in the flight to Egypt. Obedient in living for years at Nazareth. Now the lesson. Saint Joseph was the father of the Holy Family and exercised his authority. And over the years, in giving retreats to just superiors, how I would tell them, in the name of our Lord, you be obedient yourselves. Obedient, first of all, to the will of God. Obedient to the ecclesiastical authority, which has rights over you. And I know of no more devastating situation, what we still call consecrated life in our day, than so many who are in authority. So many who are in authority over others are not themselves submissive to the authority, and in the church, which has the divine right to tell them what to do. Oh, the stories I could tell. Autobiographical I could be. And speaking to religious, we are to be obedient to those who have authority over us. Of course, we must distinguish. The royal community has been so blessed. Distinguish when a superior is telling us to do what we believe is God's will, and when we're being told to do or not do what we know is contrary to the authority of the church founded by Christ. There is nothing that consecrated religious more need than superiors, or themselves obedient to the church's authority, vested with a right to command them. Fifth virtue, poverty. All we know about the Holy Family is that they lived in poverty. We know that Joseph was identified as a workman. Had to work to support the family. And we touched on, remember, one of the qualities of consecrated code of canon law, code of canon law, code of canon law, code of canon law. Remember, industriousness. We are to work. And that work is not only with the body, it is also with the mind. What a statement to remain recollected, say, just in the recitation of the rosary, or say during the divine office. That means work. I've taught too many people for too many years not to know what I never tire repeating. The laziest faculty in fallen human nature is the mind. It takes work to think. Sixth virtue of Saint Joseph. The most unique love of Jesus and Mary of any saint in human history. Surely, Joseph always, what a safe adverb, always had Jesus and Mary on his mind. Living, of course, in their physical company. But Joseph was extraordinarily enlightened by the Holy Spirit. As far as God wanted him to, he knew what was going on. And it both kept him profoundly humble and devotedly loving Jesus and Mary. And this, needless to say, is the single greatest need that we have as consecrated persons, have Jesus and Mary on our minds and in our hearts. And surely, all we can tell, Joseph was a very quiet man. It is not how many words you say, how many speeches you give. The love of Jesus and Mary is deep, deep down in, hear it, in the human will. Always wanting to please Jesus and his mother. The seventh virtue will surprise you. Saint Joseph knew what his providential purpose in life was. As we said earlier, all the church's tradition tells us that Joseph died before Christ began his public ministry. Devotion to Saint Joseph means practicing the virtue of living by anticipation in heaven. And that is why, over the centuries, Saint Joseph has been considered and rightly devoted to as the patron of a happy death. What a virtue is this? The virtue of living always in anticipation of our destiny. Let's be honest. You are not made for this world. You are not made for time. You are made for eternity. And therefore, living in anticipation of eternity is what Saint Joseph finally teaches us. Over the centuries, the church tradition has been that Joseph died in the arms of Jesus and Mary. Oh, how we need to hope for that ourselves. That is why I thought I would close with what I'm hoping you already know. This prayer. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, I give you my heart, my spirit, and my life. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, assist me in my last agony. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, may I die in your blessed company. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.